Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayigash Chamish, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Vayigash. Ours is a little bit of a longer Aliyah. It's 28 Pesukim, running from Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Ches, to Perek Mem Vov, Pasuk Chav Zayin. The topic of our Aliyah is Yaakov's descent to Egypt and the census of 70 souls. So when Yaakov receives this news, he says, Rav Yo'od Yosef Benicha, it's so much that Yosef should be alive. I'm going to go down and see him before I die. And so that's what he does. He starts going southwards. He gets to Be'er Sheva. He sacrifices to the gods of his father, Yitzhak. And at night, Hashem appears to him and says, Yaakov, Yaakov. He responds, Hineni, I'm here. And Hashem says, I'm the God of your father. Don't fear for going down to Egypt, because I will make you into a great nation there. I am going to go down with you to Egypt, and I'm going to surely come up with you out of Egypt. But you should know, Yosef, Yoshis, Yodoi, Aleinecha, Yosef will cover your, he put his hand over your eyes. Yaakov, having received this prophecy, he gets up the next morning, he takes all his family, his children, his wives, and he puts them onto the wagons that Pharaoh had sent. And off they go. They take all the possessions they received in the land of Canaan, and they go to Egypt together. The whole family arrives. And then we have a large census, really, from Pasuk Ches to the end of the Aliyah. We have a census of the different sides of the family. So we hear about the names of all the different people in the family, starting with the children of Leah, which is the largest part of the family. So we hear about Reuven's children and Shimon's children and Levi's children and Yehuda's children. We hear about all the specific names of the people, Yisachar's children and Zvulun's children. And we hear about Dinah. And at this point in time, we hear about 33 souls from that branch of the family. Then we hear about the next branch of the family. We hear about the children of God, the children of Asher, and all of their children. Then we hear about those of the Bnei Bila. Then we hear about the Bnei Zilpa, which are the children of We then hear about Rachel and her children, and we hear about Yosef and his children already in Egypt. We hear about Binyamin and his 10 children, and then finally we hear about the children of Zilpah, which are the then we hear about Dan and Naphtali, who are the children of Bilhah, the maidservant of Rachel, and we're told that there are 66 are coming down with Yaakov, and the adding in Yosef and his two children and wife, it brings us to 70 as well. So what is interesting about this is trying to understand this Aliyah, a lot of different pieces. Is piece number one is there's the name Yisrael, and Yaakov seems to be switched. So when he hears about the news, he becomes Yisrael. Then when he's going down, he becomes Yaakov, Yaakov. So what's the notion of this name change? So Ramban says that the name Yisrael is about Kisarisim, Rekima, Anashim, Atuchal, that you fought and succeeded against your battles against man and angel. So that name is when he receives news that Yosef is alive. He knows that his destiny is intact. When he goes down to Egypt, this is the beginning of the Golos, as the Ramban says, Ki me'ato ha-Golos taschil. From now, the exile is beginning, and therefore his name switches back to Yaakov. The Ha'im Ektoris is a little bit slightly different, and that is Israel is when the nation of Israel is able to be involved totally in spiritual pursuits, Torah, Tefillah, and all kinds of spiritual activities. But when it comes to being involved in Halichos Ha'olam, the ways of this world, that's when is Yaakov, and he's now being involved in the ways of the world, not in a negative way, but this is a different modality of operation, which is called Yaakov. Now, why is he concerned that Hashem needs to assure him? Don't be afraid, Hashem tells him. Why is he afraid? Ha'im Ektoris, and Atzad Yitzri Yehuda Berlin, explains that he's concerned about assimilation. He understands that in the land of Israel, even though there will be assimilation, the land of Israel is a spiritual place, and it will protect them from full assimilation and full dispersion. Whereas in Chutz Laaretz, in the land of Egypt, when the assimilation happens there, it will be almost irreplaceable when the Jews will be lost in that case and place. Worthwhile thinking about very much apropos the days we live in today. What does it mean that Yosef will cover your eyes with his hand? What is that metaphor meant to be in the text? So the Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, explains that he'll take care of all your needs. Anything you look at, he'll cover your eyes. Anything, aspirations you have, he'll take care of it. The Ksava Kabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, takes it one step further to explain that when Avraham Avinu heard about the Bris Ben Avsarim, that his children were going to go down to Egypt and there was going to be this whole business, Avraham Avinu was himself terrified about it. He was scared. Now Yaakov, who's one actually really 2 steps closer, and he's going down to Egypt. You could imagine how fearful he may have been at this time. And so what he's being assured is, don't worry, you, while you're in Yosef's protection, everything will be all right as well. Taking a little bit of a different direction, Ibn Ezra says, after your death, Yosef will take care of you. He'll take care of you in death as he will in your life. And this relates to an interesting tradition, and that is the idea of when a person passes away, there is a mitzvah that the children cover or close the eyes of the niftar. So they should place their hands over the eyes to cover their eyes as a sign of respect for what the person sees at the time of death. He sees the shechin at the time of death, and the children are supposed to cover their other eyes at a point in time. The Rachaim explains that what this means to say is that Yosef will be taking care of your needs even after your death as well. You'll notice there's a lot of talk about mortality in the Aliyah. Yaakov Avinu thinking about his own mortality right here. The Rachaim says perhaps another idea which is to be found over here is that Yosef won't die in your lifetime. You were so concerned that Yosef was gone, well, you will predecease him like the natural way of the world, as a parent predeceases their children, not the children predeceasing their parents, God forbid. And that's what's being told, that Yosef will still be around after your death. Another question, why is it that that only the possessions they inherited in Canaan are the ones they're going to be bringing with them now? Right? It seems to be clear in the Psukim that Asher Rochshu Beretz Canaan, the only property they're bringing with is the property they acquired in the land of Canaan. Explains Rashi, is they did not want to bring any of the wealth that he got from the house of Lavan, from the diaspora, and rather he used that because of the way Rashi explains it is that the assets of the diaspora are not fitting for me, they're not important enough for me, and therefore he uses them instead to buy from Esav his plot in the Maras and Achpelah, because Esav did have privileges in that, and that's what he used them for as well. And finally, there's another couple of questions, and that is who is Shaul ben Akananis? It says that there's this, Shimon has a child called Shaul ben Akananis. Rashi explains this is the child of Dina. Shechem raped Dina, and ultimately they had a child. This child was understandably did not have as much of a place, and Shimon took that child in. The Rav Hirsch points out over here, you see, this is a notion of matrilineal descent, the idea that in Judaism follows the mother for being considered a Jew or not a Jew, and the mother is Jewish, that is Dina, which is why Shimon took this child in as well. Now, if you do the counting carefully, it isn't actually true that there are 70 souls. If you count the names listed, there really are only 69, and in fact, if you do a careful count of the subsections of the four different wives, you'll see that the discrepancy happens in the children of Leah, where it says 33, but there really are only 32. So Rashi quotes a famous Chazal that the 70th person was in fact Yocheved. Yocheved was born as they entered into Egypt. Ibn Ezra says this really can't be. That cannot be what is being described over here, because if that was the case, then Yocheved, who is the mother of Moshe, would have had to have given birth to Moshe at the ripe age of 130. And if that's the case, then that would be a much greater miracle than Sarah giving birth to Yitzhak, which is at the age of 90, but yet nobody talks about this. So clearly it could not have been that Yocheved was born at that point. She must have been born at a later stage, and this cannot be taken literally. The Ramban says, and in his very sharp terms, he says, lest he thinks, lest Ibn Ezra thinks he's so wise in the contradictions of the words of our rabbis, he says, therefore I'm going to have to respond. It says the Ramban, look, whichever way you cut it, it's going to be miraculous. So let's say that Yocheved was born later. That means her father gave birth to her at the age of well over 100, well over the time that Avraham Avinu gave birth. So whichever way you put it, whichever way on the spectrum you put the birth, either she is very old when she gives birth, or her father was very old when he gave birth. Either way, there's a miracle. Therefore, the Ramban comes to the conclusion, a very important thesis that he says, and I'm going to quote it in Hebrew, which is, he says something which is very true and clear in the Torah, Ki anisim hanasim al yedei navi, she yisnabei kein mitzchila. If a prophet, it is a miracle which is prophesied initially by the prophet, Oy malach nigle b'malachus Hashem yizkirem akosov v'naasim ve'alehem la'azor tzadik. Therefore, they will be explicitly mentioned. But the ones v'naasim alehem la'azor tzadik ol achris rosha lo yizkirem b'torah o'manavim. There are many other miracles which are not recorded explicitly. You may work out through the numbers that this is a miracle, like this case, but they're not going to be explicitly identified because they were not given as a prophecy beforehand for a specific purpose. Therefore, they are not going to be mentioned as well. Very important description over here. So therefore, the Ibn Ezra will say if it's a miracle, it has to be identified in the text, whereas Ramban says there can be many miracles which are not identified in the text, and that explains the age of Yocheved, which is one of the many hidden miracles of the Torah. With this, we close the fifth aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.